Father, we thank you as we approach your word this morning. We do so with deep reverence, acknowledging that the word we are about to share is not the idea of any man. This is your own very word. Words that you inspired men to write by your Holy Spirit. Words that you spoke expressly from heaven to us here on earth, that we may know what is already settled in heaven and believe accordingly here on earth, so that you may perform it for us with signs following. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and guiding us into the truth that the Father has for us here today. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Psalm chapter 3, I'll begin to read from verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Hallelujah. Please underline that in your Bible. My glory, and the lifter up of mine head. God is your glory. God is the lifter up of your head. In other words, in every trouble, in every adversity, in every pressure of life, God is available to turn the situation around for his glory in your life and for joy for you and for victory for you. Because to lift up your head means it lifts up your head above the trouble. That's what it means. The trouble is there to overwhelm you. You know how it is in life. You and I have been through that before, and every day we see people around us going through it also. When people are under pressure, they bow down like this. It's like they are carrying a heavy weight. They can't even look up. They feel downcast because their soul within them is pained. Just like David said, when he was in trouble, there was so much pain on the inside and his soul was cast down, and he had to remember that God was on his side and challenge his soul to hope in God and not be downcast. You see, it's so easy for us to be bowed down by the pressures of life. But as Christians, we have to remember that there is God there for us. So when pressures begin to come against us in increasing measures, we have to remember where our help is coming from. Just like the psalmist said here, oh, many situations may be contrary to you, and people may even be wondering that where is your God? He said, well, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But he didn't agree with them. So forget about what people are saying about you. That does not matter at all. What matters is what you are saying about yourself and about your situation. Because no man has the power or ability to determine your future. God is the only one that can determine your future. And let me submit to you also here that the devil has no power to determine your future except you allow him. Bible says give no place to the devil. It doesn't matter what things may be contrary to you in life. God can make those same things to work together for good in your life and bring you to your expected end. Did he not do it for Joseph? He gave Joseph a dream. The devil tried to mess up the life of Joseph in order to make sure he never experienced fulfillment of his dream. But Joseph remained faithful to God. In all the trials, he kept his faith in God. At the end of the day, did the dream not come to pass? All the plans of the devil in trying to rob Joseph of his dream actually worked the purpose of God in the life of Joseph. Because the devil, in sending him to prison, using Potiphar's wife to lie against him and get him in trouble, actually was helping God fulfill the dream. The dream will be fulfilled in prison. Because it was in prison that he met the baker and the butler. And eventually, that was how Pharaoh knew that there was somebody in prison that could help him interpret his dream. And from prison to the palace. Isn't that wonderful? The devil thought, well, dreamer, where's your dream now? You said people will bow down to you. They don't bow down to prisoner. Forget about the dream. You are finished. But Joseph in prison was still faithful to God. Some of us in that kind of condition will be blaming God. We'll be so depressed that we won't even be thinking of anybody else. We'll be thinking of ourselves, but not Joseph. So when he saw that the baker and the butler were sad, look at this, is somebody that should not be in prison. Now he's looking at prisoners who are sad and trying to help them. Why are you sad? Can I be of help to you? Is that not being faithful to God? We have to learn from all these things. They are written in the word of God for us to understand. Nothing is powerful enough to keep you down as a Christian. Don't let any trouble hold you down. Learn to rise above those troubles by encouraging yourself on the inside. The power to have victory is on the inside, not on the outside. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Don't let anything pressurize your soul into depression. Rise above those pressures by strengthening yourself on the inside with the might of God. There's enough of God on the inside of you to overcome every adversity. That's why here, the psalmist David, who went through so much affliction in his days, but he always had the victory. You see, that's the story of the life of David. He went through so much trouble, but he always had victory because he trusted in God. And God fought for him. So he said, Lord, how are they increased? Please underline that keyword, increased. And I want to share with us this morning how to deal with increasing pressures in our days. We are living in the days that Bible described as perilous times. Because Paul wrote by the Holy Spirit to Timothy, as the Holy Spirit moved Paul, he sent to Timothy the epistle that the Holy Spirit was saying to him expressly that in the last days perilous times will come. And you and I don't need a prophet today to tell us we are living in the days. These are the days Bible spoke about. And Daniel also spoke about these last days, that the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do great exploits. So don't let the devil distract you by what he's doing. You focus on God on the inside of you. This is the time for the church to shine the glory of God. In the midst of the darkness, that's when the light will shine. So don't let us be carried away by what the devil is doing. Greater is he on the inside of us than the devil that is in the world. Actually, God's plan is for the church to arise with the power of God in the midst of the darkness and confusion that is in the world and all the trouble and pressures of life all around, and to begin to show the way of victory to all the people. That there is a God in heaven who rules in the affairs of men. That if they would allow God to have access in their lives, it can help them overcome the trouble. And that's what David is saying here. The troubles against me have increased. They have multiplied. Actually, if you come to me as a Christian and you tell me you don't have any trouble, I'll look at you as a strange Christian. Because you are supposed to have trouble. Have you not read the Bible? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You don't have trouble because you have sinned. You have trouble because you are righteous. We know sometimes we mess up and we pay the price for what we have done wrong. But whether we do the right thing or not, we are going to have trouble. Jesus himself said in John chapter 16 verse 33, he was speaking to his disciples. He said, "These things are spoken unto you that in me you may have peace. Because in the world you are going to have tribulation. You are going to have plenty of trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In other words, don't let the trouble put you down. Cheer up in the midst of the trouble. Be encouraged because I've already given you the victory. So the truth is that you are already a winner in every adversity that you are facing right now. Jesus already gave you the victory over 2,000 years ago. You just need faith to walk in it today. So David, in the midst of his trouble and the increase that he was going through in times of adversity, he rose up on the inside of himself and said, even though many people are saying there is no help for him in God, he said, "But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are the glory and the lifter up of my head. So I'm going to go to bed and sleep as though I had no problem at all." So if you've been finding it hard to sleep because of your trouble, you need to laugh on it. Stop tossing to and fro on the bed. Just say, "Well, the trouble is not my trouble. It belongs to God. Every battle in my life is God's battle to fight for me. I'm just going to hold my place in faith and let God be God." Hallelujah. And you go to sleep like a baby. You know, babies don't have any trouble. They just eat and sleep. And when they need food, just say, then the mother runs to them and gives them food. Jesus said we have to convert and be like those little children in order to enjoy the things of the kingdom. So look at David again. Verse 3, But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You are my defense against the devil that is causing me trouble. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory. Ha, you are going to give me the honor in this situation. The devil tried to put me to shame, but I'm going to get the honor. The devil will get the shame. Because you are going to lift my head above the trouble. That's faith speaking. And then it goes on to say, in verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Look at verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I did not have any sleepless night because of the trouble. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. What a bold confession of faith in God. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Some of us as Christians, we are afraid of just one man. But if somebody say 10,000s will not even make me afraid. Eh? People will say, you don't stand a chance. You against multitude like that. No, he said, no, I'm not going to be afraid of them. Why? Because God can take care of all of them for me. Hallelujah. When we have faith in God and we release our faith in God with this kind of confidence, nothing bothers us. Absolutely nothing. When troubles come and they increase and the pressures of life come against us and they increase, we are not moved because we know the battle is the Lord's. God is our defense. Is our strong tower, is the glory and the lifter up of our heads. He will turn the situation around for glory in our lives. The devil is not going to put us to shame. Excuse me. So don't let the devil get you to believe that what you are going through is going to end up with shame for you. No. Don't even believe that one moment. God is for you. God is on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? It's about what you believe. It's not about what people are saying. It's about what you believe. People were saying to David, no help for him in God, but he didn't believe them. He didn't agree with them. That's their own version. It's what you believe that matters. Remember how, how Jesus also one day called his disciples and asked them, who do men say that I am? And they told Jesus all kinds of version of people's idea about who Jesus was. He said, well, I don't worry about what they are saying. How about you? You, my followers. Who do you say that I am? Do you know me? Forget about what others are saying. They are ignorant anyway. You, my followers, ought to know the truth. Do you know me? And thank God for Peter. He jumped up with the Holy Spirit upon him and said, praise God. That's my paraphrase. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, well, Peter, you didn't get this by learning at the university. You didn't get this by intellect. No man taught you this. The Holy Spirit gave you this revelation. Hallelujah. So the key is for us to know the truth for ourselves. Stop wondering about what people are saying. The devil is going to use people to distract you from your place of faith in God. That was what he was trying to do to David. Many were saying to him, look at how many trouble he has. And he says he's a king. How can he be a king? And he said he's anointed of God. How can he be the anointed of God with all this kind of trouble? But David said, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I'm not going to be moved by all the troubles that have increased or what people are saying, because they don't know. I know you, O God. Hallelujah. And didn't God bring his promises to pass in the life of David? He did. David fought many battles. He won every one of them because God fought on his side. And that same God is your father today, to fight on your side in every situation. So don't worry. When the pressures begin to increase, don't cave in. Don't allow your soul to be pressured into submission. Let the strength of God rise up within you to resist the devil. Because the devil is coming with the pressures all around you, but let the strength of God on the inside prevail against him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. So we're looking at that this morning. Get your pen and paper. I'll give you some points and some scriptures to take home and meditate in. But before we look at the points, turn also with me quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When the troubles increase against you, when the pressures of life increase against you, what do you do? What do you do? What are you expected to do according to the word of God? That's what we are looking at this morning. We have to know what to do. God himself said in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Not because of the trouble, not because of the devil, not because of the pressures of life, but because of ignorance. But when you know what to do in trouble, then you already have the victory. Isn't that so? Any problem that you have a solution to is no longer a problem. The only problem that is a problem is the one that you don't have solution to. Once you have the answer, then there's no more question. Hallelujah. So we just need to know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Then you can wake up every morning and say to the devil, devil, what is the best trouble you can bring my way today? I'm ready for you. Hallelujah. Because I've put on the armor of God. I'm fully armed. I'm ready to stand my ground and resist you, devil, and prevail in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the devil begin to shake like this. I'm in trouble now. This one has discovered the truth. There's nothing I can do against him because God is going to fight for him. He's standing his ground in faith. Don't you remember that the devil reads the Bible too, but it doesn't just obey the word of God. He quoted the Bible to Jesus in the wilderness. He quoted it. He said it is written. When Jesus said it is written, the devil said it is written also. He even used King James Version. But he wrongly divided the word. Because it's not the spirit of truth, you see. He will wrongly divide the word. That's why you have to know the truth and then you catch him out. I said, no, no, no. God didn't put that one there to mean what you are saying now. Don't turn the word of God and twist it around. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side. And because of that, we are finished. Is that what the Bible says there? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Isn't that wonderful? In other words, we have what it takes to overcome all the troubles. Trouble on every side. Trouble when you go to work. Trouble at home. Trouble on the job. Trouble among friends. And even you come to church, sometimes you have trouble. Where are you going to hide now? Everywhere there is trouble. Where am I going to run to that I won't have trouble? No place. It's only in Christ. Because you are an overcomer in Him. If you think that there's trouble in England, you go to America, you find other trouble. And then they will tell you, well, you should not have come to America from England. You should have gone to Sweden. Then you pack your bag and go to Sweden and you find another trouble. And before long, the devil keeps sending you all over the world. And everywhere you go, you find trouble. You better know the truth as a Christian. It is in Christ that you have the victory. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and they are saved. It's not about whether you are in England or in America. It's about being in Christ. In Him, you have the victory always. Thanks be to God. Bible says, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So trouble on every side, but not distress. So don't be perplexed when trouble come against you on every side. You go here, trouble, go there, trouble. Don't worry about it. Just be like David. How they increase that trouble me? I don't worry about that because you are a shield for me. You are the glory and the lifter up of my head. You are the one that fight for me and give me the victory. I don't even need to fight for myself. Jehoshaphat learned that from God when he sought the Lord in the midst of his trouble. God said, you don't need to fight in this battle. The battle is mine. I'll fight for you. Hallelujah. God will fight for you. You're a child of God. Also, turn with me to Psalm chapter 61. Oh, when the pressures increase on every side, don't give up. Don't allow your soul to be depressed by the enemy or by the troubles he's bringing against you. Rise up with the strength of God on the inside of you and hold your place, hold your ground in faith and resist the devil by being steadfast in the faith. What the devil is after is to put so much pressure on you that you even forget that God is on your side. Don't allow him to succeed in doing that. God is for you. God is with you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All you need is to hold your ground in faith. Because even the devil knows that it is written in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16 that with the shield of faith you are able to quench all, not some of them, all the fiery darts of the wicked. No matter how many troubles the devil brings against you, Bible says with your shield of faith, you can handle every one of them. So the devil put pressure on your soul so that you give up on God's word and on God's promises. Don't allow him to do that. Remember God like David did in the midst of the trouble that have come against you on every side. Remember that God is your shield and the glory and the lifter up of your head And don't be discouraged. You go to bed at night and sleep like a baby. And roll the cares upon the Lord. And we shall see what you need to do this morning. Just as David knew what to do. All we need to know is how to handle these things when they come against us. So we can enjoy the peace of God in the midst of all the troubles of life. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 61. Another psalm of David. Verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than high. Please underline that in your Bible. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than high. In other words, there is a place of victory for me when my heart is overwhelmed. And if I will go to that place, I'll be above the trouble. Let's put it that way. So there is a rising up from what we see in this verse of scripture. There is a rising up to a higher level above the troubles. You know how it is that aeroplanes, they can fly above the cloud. Hallelujah. And the cloud that is troubling others, they can rise above it and just go beyond the cloud. Hallelujah. So we can rise above these things because we are seated together with Christ in the heavenly places, Bible says. And our faith can take us to that height above all the troubles and above all our enemies round about. This same David said exactly the same thing in Psalm 27. He said, in the time of trouble, God himself will lift him up above all his enemies round about. That's the key. And here he's saying, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than high. In other words, there is the opportunity for me to rise up to a higher level above all these troubles. So how do we get to that higher level when the troubles come? Now get your pen and paper ready. So when the pressures begin to increase, what do we do? Do we just sit down and eat the bread of sorrows, feel discouraged, throw in the towel, or go about complaining and murmuring against God? God, why have you forsaken me? God, after all that I've done for you, how come you allow all this to happen to me? Or you just sit down and cry and cry and cry like David did one time, you see? But he learned from his experience that crying would not solve any problem. You need to read the account in 1 Samuel chapter 30. When the enemy, the Amalekites, came to Ziklag and burned down the base of David, took his wife, took his children, took all his possession, took the wives of his men, took everything that they had, all that they could do when they came back was weep. You've lost everything. And then after weeping for a while, these same valiant men of David turned against them. Said, but you are the leader. That's how it is. The leader gets the blame. And they wanted to stone him to death. These are men that have been fighting for David. Now, you see how the devil works? He has discouraged them to the point now that they want to turn to murdering the same leader over them. Don't underestimate the devil. So, I'm sure when David saw what was about to happen, and also himself has been crying, no more tears coming. He has already exhausted his tear gland. But God has not shown up. What am I doing? Suddenly, remember, this is not the way to get the victory. So it said to the priest, give me the ephod. I should be seeking the Lord for what to do. And he sought the Lord. And God gave him the battle plan. He said, well, pursue the enemy. You will recover all. You'll recover her. God knows how to give you victory over the devil at all times. Don't lose faith. Hallelujah. Number one, please write this down. In these last days, we are going to experience more troubles, or if you like, pressures. We are going to experience more troubles or pressures of life on every side. Because the devil knows that his time is short. In front of that, please write Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. The devil knows he has but a short time. So he has come to the earth with great fury, and is making war against all of humanity, and especially against those who hold the testimony of Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches us there in Revelation chapter 12. Because you are a follower of Jesus, you are a number one target for the devil. Because you have taken sides against him. But remember that you have already overcome him in Christ. The devil is a liar. When you harm yourself with the truth, you put him in his place. You don't let him bother you or give you any sleepless night. Next, please write this down. What we need to do to overcome the increased trouble or increased pressure is to choose. See, it's a choice. It's a choice. It doesn't happen automatically. That's why I'm emphasizing the word choice. It's a choice you have to make. Nobody can make it for you. You have to make the right choices in your life. The troubles that come against you in life, they are not the ones that would determine your future. It is the choices you make in them that determine your future. Somebody can have 100 trouble, in quotes, and win and fulfill their destiny. Someone else can have just one trouble and be defeated by that one trouble. So it's not the troubles that matter. It is the choices we make in them. Because if you, like David, choose to believe God in the midst of your trouble, God will fight for you and you have the victory. But if you don't believe God and you sit down trying to use your own intellect, you'll be defeated. So it's not the trouble that matters, it is what we do in them that will determine our outcome. You have to know that as a rule. So you have to choose. So what you need to do in the midst of those increased pressure, increased trouble, is choose to press in. I want to use the word press to help us understand that when pressure comes, we need to exert pressure in another angle. So what you need to do is to press in to more of God. That's all. The devil is bringing pressure against you. Well, let that pressure drive you closer to God. That's your solution. Don't sit down there and allow the pressure to overwhelm you. That's why David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than high. I'm going to press my way and rise up. I'm not going to allow the trouble to put me down. I will rise up in the strength of God above the trouble. The woman with the issue of blood came in the press, Bible says, she pressed her way through every obstacle to get help from Jesus. Imagine what would have happened if she just said, well, there are too many people around Jesus, too many obstacles, I don't stand a chance, I'm even hemorrhaging, I'm weak, they are stronger than me, if I try to push them, I may even fall down and die. Well, you're already about to die anyway, you've been losing blood, what's the point? Just like those lepers, you know, remember how those lepers, they said, why sit down here till we die? Already there is famine. If we sit here, we are going to die. Well, why don't we just go and fall in the hands of the media? Maybe they will have mercy on us and give us some food to stay alive. Without them knowing that God had already defeated the enemy. But when they got out, they went to one. There is food here. They went in another. There is food everywhere. Thank God we didn't sit down there and die. And then their conscience pricked them. Say, oh,
we are not doing the right thing. Let's go and tell the king. We have to get the word to the king that there is food now. There is food. There is food. So what are we saying? We need to rise up and take hold of God in the midst of the trouble. So you press in to more of God. The devil puts pressure on you. Let the pressure drive you to God. Was that not what Jehoshaphat did in 2 Chronicles chapter 20? The devil came against him with multitude. To the extent that Jehoshaphat was honest in himself and said, well, we don't even stand a chance against them. We don't even know what to do. But he allowed the fear, because the Bible says Jehoshaphat was greatly afraid of the enemy. But he allowed that to drive him to God. The fear that drives you to God is good fear. The one that turns you away from God is bad one. If anything drives you close to God, that's a good thing, because that thing is driving you to where you can get the victory. So he turned to God, proclaimed the fast in the land, and God brought the word to encourage him and said, don't worry about this multitude. You even need to shoot one arrow. I'll take care of them for you. You just praise me. I don't know about you. That's something wonderful to do. Enemy is against you. You are not having a sleepless night. You just gather praise party. Say, well, let's praise God. For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And while you are doing that, God is allowing the enemy to destroy themselves. And at the end of the day, God turns into a blessing for Judah. Bible says, for 3 days, they were cutting away the blessings. Bible says, it was too much. God can turn everything that is contrary to you around to be a blessing to you. You just have to hold your place in faith and do the right thing. Make the right choices to obey God. Now, what are the things to do? Number one, so how do you press into more of God? So this is the way you press into more of God. Oh, first, please write this scripture in front of the last statement, that what you need to do is to press into more of God. Psalm chapter 60, verses 11 and 12. Their Bible simply says, through our God. You see, in verse 11 it says, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. In other words, we are not looking to any carnal resources. We are looking to God. And then in verse 12, it says, through our God we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down the enemy. So it is God that will give you the victory. So you press into more of God. Don't look to man now. Man can't help you. Only God can. Also, Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And thirdly, Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 to 5. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be shaken and be carried into the midst of the sea. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Our help is coming from God. Forget about the distraction of the enemy. Everything is shaking. Everything, that's just distraction. Focus on God. Whatsoever is shaking, at the end of the day, will shake towards the blessings of God for your life. If you focus on God. Don't let the devil put you down on the inside and get you discouraged. So number one, how to press into more of God. You press into more of the word, studying and meditating in it. Press into more of the word of God. You see, God and his word are one. If you want to press into more of God, the place to begin from is his word. That's the time to get your Bible out. Get your concordance out and study the word of God more than you ever did. You see, we are talking about rising to a higher level to overcome increasing pressure in your life. Don't maintain the same level that you were at before. Match pressure with greater pressure. That's what I'm trying to get across to us this morning. If you are reading your Bible for 10 minutes before, at least double it up now because the pressure is more. And say, well, at least I'm going to do 20 minutes now. 10 minutes is no longer enough because the pressure has increased. I need to match the enemy with greater strength of God. I have to resist him with more strength on God's side. Hallelujah. So increase your time in the Word. Don't go the same time you've been doing before the trouble increases. You increase longer time now. Hallelujah. So, more time in the Word. Why? Because the Word of God is the basis of your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And faith is the key to your victory in every situation. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 and Ephesians 6 verse 16. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And Ephesians 6:16, with the shield of faith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You see, that's why you need to press into more of the Word of God. You need greater measure of faith to handle the greater pressure the enemy is bringing against you. Number two, press in to more of prayer and, if necessary, add fasting to it. If you've never fasted before because you love food, when pressures increase against you, better put the food aside and say, hey, it's time to seek the Lord. Because there are some pressures that the enemy brings against you in life that you will never be able to overcome except you fast and pray. Jesus himself said so. There are some things you don't overcome except with prayer and fasting. Not prayer alone now, prayer and fasting, because fasting will help your soul to get out of the way. You subdue your soul so you can give maximal devotion to God with all your heart. And that's when you find the fullness of the power of God at work in your life. You shall seek me when you search for me. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, God said to Jeremiah. So fasting helps all our heart to seek the Lord. Okay. I gave you a scripture for the first one, pressing to more of God so you can get more faith. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. And Ephesians 6:16. Because when you press into more of God, you have more faith. 1 John 5:4, Ephesians 6:16. And then point number two, prayer and fasting. Press into more of prayer and fasting. Psalm 118:5. So in your distress, you can cry to God and he will save you out of the distress. That's what the psalmist said there. Psalm chapter 3 verse 4. We read that a short while ago. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. You see, in the midst of all the trouble, he cried unto God. In other words, he prayed. And thirdly, Matthew chapter 17 verse 21. Jesus explaining to his disciples when they were asking, why couldn't we cast out the devil from that man's son? He said, well, it is because of your unbelief. In other words, you lack the kind of faith to get the job done. And you could have helped yourself have that kind of faith. That's my paraphrase, by prayer and fasting. He didn't say it is the fasting that will drive the devil away. You can fast till you are dry to the bones and the devil will still be there. It will just be like you are going on a hunger strike. And the devil can even kill you before your time. It's faith that overcomes the devil. So what Jesus was saying, because a lot of people get that wrong. They say, well, when I have the devil, I just need to go into fasting to defeat him. Jesus never said that. He answered the question by saying, it is because of your unbelief. Although this kind doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. In other words, if you had been praying and fasting as I, your master, has been doing, you would have had the kind of faith to handle this kind of situation. You would have built up your faith to the level that is necessary to handle this kind of difficult situation. That's why we are saying you need to press into more of God. You can't stay on the same level to defeat the enemy when he has come up higher. You match him by going up higher in God. I say, well, I'm going to rise above the cloud in the name of Jesus and defeat you. Hallelujah. Number three thing to do to press into more of God is to praise God. Some people find it hard to praise God except when things are going easy for them. You know how it is with many Christians, you hear their voice singing, oh, with beautiful, beautiful, heavenly, heavenly tune. Oh, Jesus, so sweet, Jesus. See, Jesus. But then when adversity strikes them, the song dries up. And then you wonder, where is the song? I don't hear the voice singing anymore. What has happened? Well, the trouble has increased. No, you should increase the praise now. Because many of the battles that the children of Israel won, they won through praise. God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22 verse 3. He is enthroned. So you need to bring God into the situation to defeat the enemy. And for God to do that, you need to set up a throne for him with your praise. Because he is the judge. He needs to sit on the throne and give you justice in that situation. So praise God. Don't stop praising him because your troubles have increased. And don't complain and murmur and gripe against God. Praise him. Give him the sacrifice of praise. And let God be God. In front of that, Psalm 22 verse 3, God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 149 verses 4 to 9. And Psalm chapter 18 verse 3. Hallelujah. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. In other words, I'm just going to call upon God and give him praise. And he will take care of my enemy for me. The wall of Jericho will come down in all areas of my life through praise. Finally, number four thing you need to do to press into more of God. Again, remember, you have to press into more of these things. More of the word. More of prayer and fasting. More of praising God. And finally, more of fellowshipping. Hallelujah. Many Christians, when they are in trouble, they stop coming to church. Well, you just turned away from where you are going to get help. Because Jesus, the head of the church, is saying we should not forsake the assembling together, knows that there are situations in our life that we can never get help for staying away from his house. Why? Because in the church there is what is called corporate anointing. You never get that alone. It doesn't matter how anointed you are. That's why even Jesus himself, while he was here on earth, always went to church. Let's put it that way. Bible says he had the custom of going to the temple and the synagogue. He always went there. Because he knew that in the place of fellowship, the fullness of God is present. And you don't have that on your own. You only have it in the midst of the congregation. Bible says the ways of God are in the sanctuary. In other words, in that place of gathering together, the fullness of God's power and all that God can do is there. And it doesn't mean that you have to look for a place where there are thousands gathered. Because you can have thousands gathered and God is not there. He said, where they are gathered in my name. There are many gatherings that are not in his name. To be gathered in his name means to gather unto his honor, to gather according to his purpose and for his will. How many of us even in the church today are there for the purpose of God and for the will of God? So many of us are in the church for our own purpose. So that's not the gathering of Jesus Christ unto Jesus. That's gathering unto myself. God is not there. Hallelujah. So where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Please write the scripture, Matthew 18:20. That's what Jesus himself said. And then also Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 30 to 31. We find the principle there. And what God was saying to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 32, 30, and 31, that how shall one chase 1,002, put 10,000 to flight, except God, God himself, their maker, has delivered them. In other words, it is God in the place of fellowship that will bring a dimension of victory that we cannot work out mathematically. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000 to flight. That is not mathematical. It's not simple equation. Isn't that so? Because if we want to go mathematically, okay, one puts 1,000 to flight. So if we have two, 1,000 times two, it's got to 2,000. Already we see God's own arithmetic is different from our own. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000. In other words, whatsoever it takes to gain the victory, once two gather together, God is there to do the job. If God needs 10 angels to serve you in that situation, it will happen in the church fellowship. If he needs the full chariot of God that came from heaven to take Elijah home, he will mobilize them for you because you have obeyed him in the place of fellowship. His corporate anointing is there. He knows the measure of power that you need to gain the victory. So don't stay away from church when the troubles increase. In fact, increase your church attendance. If you are going to church once a week before, now say, there is fire on the mountain. I have to go more than once a week now. Once a week can't help me anymore. Add extra day to it. See what we are talking about? You need to match pressure with pressure. Increase. Increase. Increase your time in the word. Increase your time in prayer. Increase your time in praising God. Increase your time in attending church fellowship. And that's how to overcome the pressures when they increase against you. You are more than a conqueror through him who has loved you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before we go this morning, we are just going to quickly do something. We're going to at least apply two of the what we have shared this morning. We're going to apply prayer and praise. Just praise God. To praise God means to magnify the Lord. It does not necessarily mean singing, even though singing is part of praising God. Sometimes you can just praise him with the word. You can praise him with the dance. You can praise him with the song. You see, the important thing is to magnify the word of God above the trouble. Hallelujah. Turn with me quickly to Psalm chapter 34. You're just going to set in motion. Then you go home and do it more in depth. Doesn't matter what the trouble is. You can pray according to the word of God. So we are going to use this verse of scripture to pray and to praise God. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened. And their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. They increased our trouble, me. This is the answer. This is the solution. Magnify the Lord. In other words, praise him. Seek the Lord with more diligence now. And pray. Cry unto him. Well, you go ahead and do that. You know your trouble. I don't know your trouble. And you don't know my trouble. I know my trouble. Well, you talk to God right where you are. Talk to him from the depth of your heart. He can hear your voice. He wants you to come to him. In James chapter 5 verse 13, Bible says, any among you afflicted, let him pray. Just talk to God in the atmosphere of his presence here. Yeah? You are in fellowship, and those of you at home connecting with us, you are one with us in the spirit. We are in fellowship together. The corporate presence of God is in our midst to undo every situation by his own power, his own dimension of anointing that is more than any one of us has, the fullness of his power and might in the place of fellowship, where two or three are gathered together in his name. Doesn't matter how big the problem is or the trouble, God will take care of it for you. Just release your faith accordingly. Pray as the psalmist said here. He knows what to do. He knows what to do. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Just roll the cares upon the Lord. Cast them upon him. You and I cannot carry those burdens. The devil designed them to crush our souls, to overwhelm us. That's why David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That rock is Jesus himself, who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He knows what to do. He has already done it all for us on the cross of Calvary. He has discerned principalities and powers. He has made an open show of them. He has triumphed over them on the cross. That's why he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Release your faith in him, and in his name, make your prayers unto God in the atmosphere of his presence. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. God hears the prayers of his people. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cries. Just talk to him like you talk to your father. This is not religion. This relationship. I say, Father, already you know my trouble, but you said I should come to you, so I'm coming to you, and I'm asking you to help me with this one. Name them one by one. Help me with that one. Help me with this one, O Lord. I have no other source of help beside you, and I know that you are faithful, O God. You are faithful. You have loved me so much that you gave your son for me. How shall you not also with him freely give me all things? You never fail. The battle is yours. Fight for me. Give me the victory, O God. I won't need to fight in my own strength. I take on your whole armor. I put them on. And I release my faith in your power to have the victory. In the name of Jesus. And now if you've done that, lift your hands and your voice to him and praise him. Just magnify his name. To magnify him simply means you begin to declare who he is. Well, if you need healing, for instance, you begin to say, God, you are my healer. Oh, greater are you in me than the sickness that the devil is trying to put in my body or in my life. I praise you. I magnify your name, oh God. Name above all names. At your name, every knee shall bow, including the sickness in my body, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to you, O God, my healer, my deliverer, the glory and the lifter of my hands. I praise you, Lord. I exalt you, Lord. That's what it means to praise God. And while you are doing that, sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you a song, even a song that you never learned before. And you find yourself singing the high praises of God. And he may even take over with you and begin to help you praise in your heavenly language. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands, Bible says, as the saints are joyful in glory. We have that privilege to bind everything that is bindable. All the troubles that are coming against you, you bind. satisfying them through praise. The angels of God will serve you while you are praising God. They excel in strength. What you can't do, they can do. While you are praising God. So go ahead and praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Let's just rise to our feet and sing in our heavenly language for the next couple of minutes.